On the surface, the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, sounds like a question of trying to determine who is first. And then once we've figured out who's first, we can figure out who is second, who is third, and so forth. It ends up becoming a question of my position in the grand scheme of things. The disciples in our reading certainly thought of it that way. And it's very easy for us to do the same. But if that's all the question is, Christians, then the problem is easily solved. As long as I don't worry about trying to get ahead, I must be doing what Jesus says. I just need to be humble and let others go first, and everything will be fine. As long as I don't care where I am in the line, then God will be pleased. But Jesus shows us that there's actually a deeper problem at work here. Asking who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is not really a matter of trying to determine who's on first. Rather, asking who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is a subtle way of asking who isn't the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Because once I have that answer, then I can say, I don't need to care about them. Because that's how the world thinks, after all. The world says, I want to be first. I want to get ahead. But I can't get there without stepping on a few toes. Don't let other people take advantage of you. Make yourself stand out from the crowd. And I don't need to be concerned with these people. I don't even need to think of them. Forget about their feelings, forget about their needs. All that matters is me. Because the world despises those Christians that it considers to be below them. They say they aren't worth the trouble. And so it is often for us. My sinful flesh closes itself off from certain people. It says, what does it matter how I act towards them? Who cares about their feelings? After all, it's just going to be wasted on them, so I'm only going to think about myself. Maybe it's because they've sinned against me, and I don't want to forgive them. Maybe it's because I've sinned against them, and I refuse to repent. Maybe it's because I'm simply puffed up with pride, and I just don't care. Whatever it is, I'm ahead of them, so I can do whatever I want. But let's be very clear here, Christians. Despising someone doesn't have to be violent. I don't have to feel utter contempt towards someone in order to fall into this temptation. It could simply be a lack of caring. I don't care about my neighbor. I don't care if they need something. I don't care if they have something against me. I don't care if they're wandering around in sin. I don't care what happens to them. Despising doesn't have to be contempt. It can just be apathy. I don't care about you, so why should I have to change anything about me? This is why Jesus calls a little child into their midst. He says in verse 3, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus does not say this because children are somehow so innocent and pure. Anybody who thinks children are sinless clearly has not spent time with children. And Jesus does not say this because children automatically go to heaven. No one comes to the Father except through faith in Jesus Christ, and that includes children. Rather, Jesus says this because children are in the lowest position, even in our own time. I mean, sure, there are some who utterly despise children and want nothing to do with them, and that's becoming increasingly more the case as our age becomes more self-centered. But even if we do love children, and even if we care for them, we still consider them below ourselves. And for good reason. Would you ask a 5-year-old for financial advice? Would you ask a young children for advice on how to live your life? Of course not. Nor should we. But even if we do love them, even if we still care for them, we hold them below us. And so we therefore must become as children. We must take the lowest place and count others as more significant than ourselves. Because here's the thing, Christians. God cares for these little ones. None is outside of his care. None is beneath his concern. God is not found among the high and the mighty, the ones that we care about easily. God is found among the little ones. Whoever receives one such little one in my name receives me. We grow in faith, not by loving those that are easy to love, but by loving those who are hard to love. Because Jesus, after all, loved us when we did not love him. Jesus took the lowest place of all so that we might be lifted up and brought unto him. As if a man has 100 sheep, Jesus says, and one of them goes astray, does he abandon the one to its fate? Does he say, oh, well, it's just not worth it. This lost sheep is not worth the same as the 99, therefore I don't need to care about it. No, Jesus says. He leaves the 99 to go look for the one lost sheep. He puts forth all of his care, all of his concern, all of his effort to locate the one who wandered away. And when he finds it, he rejoices more over that one than over the 99 who did not wander. He cares so much for this little one that he did all of these things just to find it. And so is the love of God towards his little ones. The Father sent the Son in order to find them. He put forth all of his effort and all of his love so that every lost sheep would be brought home. What does this mean for us then? Well, if God cares so much for sinners, Christians, why should we be any different? If my hand does something that causes my brother to stumble, instead of not caring about it, saying that I'm going to do what I want, when I want, better to cut it off and to throw it away, to cast off that which offends God's little one, so that they would not be led astray. If my foot does something that causes them to stumble, instead of turning away from them saying, they're just not worth the trouble, better to cut it off and to throw it away, to get rid of that which leads into sin, so that we would be reconciled. And if my eye causes them to stumble, so that they wander off into sin, instead of overlooking them and pretending that it just doesn't even matter, that they're not even there at all, better to tear it out and to throw it away. Throw away the pride that has led me into sin, so that I might be like Christ, also in his humility. And Jesus says all of these things, Christians, because you are his little ones. He warns us so that we might not be lost. He tells us these things so that we too may find his mercy. So come, let us care for one another. Let us forgive one another so that we may be like our Father in heaven, who rejoices over every sinner who repents and takes delight in every little one who comes home. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who cares for all your little ones through your Son, forgive us our sins and shape us to be like you, so that we may not despise any, but love them as you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.